then we'll give you a more firsthand experience about Rwanda. So what we've learned, I think, taking care of families with HIV, both in the States as well as in Rwanda, is that children sort of need to be children, and families sort of need the support to make that happen. So we call this food, medicines, and play, because that's what we found, that people need. Just giving kids pills is really insufficient. Globally, there are 2.3 million children living with HIV. Greater than a half a million children were infected during 2006. Another 380,000 children actually died of AIDS last year. In Africa, there are 12 million orphans with HIV, and people become infected with HIV. Half of the new infections are in young people under 25, with 6,000 young people becoming infected every day. It's overwhelming statistics, and hard to actually grasp. This is easier. She's a beautiful little girl named Annanise. She is, I'll describe her family in a second. Rwanda still has, right now, has 210,000 children who are orphaned due to HIV and AIDS. And we found that the kids who were orphaned and the kids who were in families were still the last to get care. And this was true in our country as well as Western countries, Europe countries, as well as most of Africa, for lots of different reasons, difficulties in resources, disclosure, other illnesses that kids had, but it was always wrong whenever it happened. We were able to begin testing children sort of as soon as the Rwandan government put out its protocol. So in the past 2 years, we've tested over 6,000 children and identified about 10% of them with HIV infection. There are three clinics we have that are staffed with nurses, Rwandan nurses and doctors, including a Rwandan pediatric HIV specialist. During the clinic visits, we are able to provide food and playtime, again, from funds from the Ronald McDonald Foundation. Trauma counselors and family peer advocates are at each site. Again, as Mary said, a psychologist on staff, and we've been able to do a lot of family home visits, which has been really very important. So the support groups, there's about 8 support groups. They're geographically dispersed all over Kigali. Some of them are in our partner associations that I mentioned in our first discussion. Some are in our clinic sites so that women have access to get to them different, depending upon where they are. They're facilitated by trauma counselors who are often women who've had who are survivors themselves of trauma and have had a year or 3 months to 2 years of training. They're for mothers. There's a group for fathers. There's a group for grandmothers, and the children themselves, and several adolescent groups. This is Annanise's family. Annanise's mother is Floride, who you see, and the four siblings standing, are all uninfected. Annanise is, in this picture, I think 4 and a half. She's about 6 now, I think. Her mother found out she was infected with AIDS after her husband died about 2 years ago. She was tested. She started therapy in the WEAC program, and then she got Annanise tested as soon as testing for children happened in Rwanda. They live here in a home that is made sort of out of mud and rocks. These are the shoes for the whole family. And there's Annanise in a Chicago sports shirt. And there's the clothes for the family in the trunk behind them. This is her sister Jocelyn making us some tea during an early visit in the family and her mother's attempt to make the house a home. We have family peer advocates who are women with HIV who help us co-facilitate the support groups for the mothers and patients with the trauma counselors. And they really do create a sort of friendly, supportive ambience during the children's clinic visits, because there wasn't any friendly, pleasant, supportive ambience when we first sort of arrived there. Because there's just no resources and sort of not part of it. And most children don't have anything to play with in their homes, let alone when they go to visit a clinic. They help make home visits to ensure adherence to the antiretroviral regimens, and they're paid. And they're an integral part of the family program team and executive committee. So Floride, who you saw in the previous picture, the mother of Annalise, was our first family peer advocate. And with that employment, she was able to sort of help herself as well as many, many, many other patients in our setting. And I think I took out the picture. You know, there. That, so now they have more stuff in their house. It's really very important for her family, and for what she gives to the other families. The issue of orphans is big in Rwanda and in sub-Saharan Africa. Stephen Lewis, again, has a really amazing way with words. He says that children are relegated to the scrap heap of society's priorities. They've been so relegated throughout the 25 years of the pandemic. This is a grandmother with nine of her 12 grandchildren. The two boys on the right, the younger ones, are in our clinic. They both have AIDS and are on treatment. They're both doing fine. One has a little cognitive impairment, but they're both doing really well. Her children, 11 children, have all died, four from the genocide, four from AIDS, and three from other causes. And she obviously has a big responsibility. And we can only help a little bit, actually, with her major responsibility. And we try, but you definitely feel that we Act Itself can't do enough. We have visited many families with children in our program, and we've learned that most eat one or fewer meals a day. Majority don't have enough clothes, according to their parents. They live in large families. 17% are orphans totally, and one out of three lost at least one parent from HIV. Three-quarters of those, you start school at 7 in Rwanda, attend school, and the quarter that doesn't, it's not just because they have HIV, it's not like it's stigmatized, it's really poverty and not having school fees and shoes and books. But most importantly, we learned that about one out of five were considered depressed by their families, not taking their medicines, not going to school, not wanting to go to the doctor or the clinic. And that's really been something that we've tried to spend an enormous amount of energy and resources to sort of address. And I think it's a very important issue that's coming out in the literature right now as something worldwide, just giving the medicines, which is sort of an approach we have globally, is insufficient if we actually don't improve the way and the lives of the people who are getting the medicines. And then we have a large group of adolescents that Henriette, who's going to talk to you next, actually does amazing work with. It's an interesting, important grouping that is just beginning to get attention, I think, globally. There were this group of ours in WEAC, between the ages of 12 and 18, then we have another group between 18 and 22, all of whom say they were perinatally infected. Now, you know, some might be perinatally infected, and they're long survivors, and they did well, but some are not, probably, and it might be, as some have thought, related to sexual abuse, incest, their own sexual behaviors, because of transactional sex or whatever, but it sort of feels okay to sort of say it's perinatally infected. So one of the ways we deal with sort of this very difficult situation for the children is to have a Sunday children's support group where 200 children come, literally, to a large area in a mosque in Kigali to play, learn, and eat a full meal each Sunday. Here's them drinking their milk, and I think they have some bread there too, eggs and other things. Usually it is their fullest nutritional meal. The other thing we've instituted is sort of an annual party. This is something we did in Chicago at the Women and Children's Program. We call it African Children's Day. It happens on the day June 16th, which is African Children's Day all over Africa, commemorating Soweto, which of course most of you probably know was the day that the children marched out of their schools in Soweto during apartheid in South Africa, demanding books in their language and a decent education, and were shot down by the police in South Africa. It was all over the front pages of the international press and was a real turning point for the anti-apartheid movement. So we celebrate it at having 1,000 people come to a party, and everyone has a pretty good time. And we really have really felt that that kind of sort of day, just a little bit of enjoyment is really very, very important for the families sort of stuck here on enjoyment. Maybe the next one will come. Oh, I think if you do, well, there you go. They're still enjoying. It's a big... Okay. So just to mention the issues of adolescence, partly because of my obsession with it right now, but I mean, I think there's an issue of whether families when families disclose. In our country, kids who are perinatally infected sort of have been mascots of HIV clinics and have known about their infection. And but in Rwanda, where testing of children just took place 2 years ago, kids are finding out when they're much older. And they're very angry when they find this out. They blame their families, just as kids in our country do too, but it's sort of at an older age. There's big issues of sexual abuse. What is the issue for them for school and future plans? How not to engage because of their serious poverty and transactional sex when it's the only way to actually help the other members of their family. A large amount of depression. Peter Piot just issued a report from UNAIDS about this issue, and he says that the girl who has lost her mother to AIDS is emerging as the most vulnerable child in Africa. And we're really seeing that very clearly in the WEAC program. Major way that a child gets HIV is through sex abuse between a young girl and an older man, sex between adolescents and incest. We must address this. Sex abuse exists everywhere in the world. Like violence against women, sex abuse is a matter of societal norms. So I think talking about this and having an issue related to adolescence out there is really very, very important. And it's sort of smacking us in the face every time we're there. So one of the things we've done in terms of the adolescents is set up some Sunday morning computer classes, English as a second language, and then a therapy group that Henriette actually runs, where the girls talk about sexual abuse, loss of parents, caring for their own siblings, staying in school. We had a summer camp last summer for the kids where they sort of got to do sort of some fun things outside of Kigali, and have just started a peer advocacy group. I'm going to not really run through much about perinatal transmission reduction, but we have a small program where we have a peer advocate who does talk to HIV-infected pregnant women in one of our three clinics, which serves a community of 30,000, and we do all primary care there. They hold classes on HIV for the prenatal groups to encourage the women to be tested, and they assist new mothers in giving the infant medication. Someone named Epiphany, and this is her new baby. She sort of was the first person we identified who was pregnant with, who was pregnant, and we identified as HIV infected when we first started testing in a sort of rural clinic that we're with. And she was sort of, overwhelmed by knowing that she was infected. But since she was the first person, and we really wanted to have someone talk to the other women, we said, "You can do it. I'm sure you can do it." And she's been amazing. And with financial as well as emotional support from some trauma counselors, she's really just a whiz at getting the other women tested and to take medicines. Here's one of the educational groups. The woman on the left is Irene, who really motivates Epiphany and many of us. The other two are nurses who work at the Nachunga Clinic. Just to give you some uplifting stuff, we have two yoga counselors who are now in Rwanda doing from the States, who think that this is a way to really reduce stress and have good exercise, and thought it was a novel approach to deal with the disasters of Rwanda and HIV. And the folks, the groups love them. There a lot of folks are just natural. This is the kids doing the yoga, and it's just really out of sight. And they really had a blast. So that's been a lot of fun. The green T-shirts that most people seem to be wearing are T-shirts we give out at our African Children's Day. And a way to make the future what everyone would want it to be is clearly a way to make these kids' lives better. So thank you. Okay.